Psalm 34, I want to talk about life in Christ. Before we do that, though, I want to give you some quick current examples of life without Christ. So I'm going to be reading a couple of recent instances in our township here that happened. And I don't want you necessarily to pay attention to what was done, although that's part of it, but just think of what must the inner being be going through in order to act and to respond this way. Here's one that happened with a apartment fire leads to a resident's arrest. In Kim's world, dogs and clothes were more important than people, Middletown police said. As the fire burned in her bedroom early Wednesday morning, the 50-year-old tenant at Summit Trace Apartments thought only of herself and her possessions and didn't bother to warn anyone in her building, police said. When the Middletown police officer stopped and asked her, "Where's the fire?" Kim said she didn't know and continued to walk away. Police said. Five Middletown police officers put themselves at risk searching the apartment for residents while ammunition stored in a bedroom closet started firing because of the heat. One of the Pendel firefighters broke his arm when he fell down a flight of stairs during the call. Police said they had no idea Kim was a resident since she said she didn't know the fire's location after leaving with her dogs and clothing. Now she's facing three misdemeanor criminal charges. What basically happened, if I understand it right, was that the fire started, here it is here, the fire started to burn in the bedroom, and then it was in her bedroom, so she went and she got her clothes, she got some knives, and walked away. But here she jeopardized all the inhabitants of the apartment because a fire started in her apartment. Had a firefighter broke his arm because she wasn't willing to say, "Oh, by the way, I probably was smoking and I probably started a fire in my bedroom." But think beyond the actions and think of the heart that would lead to those type of actions. You know, this is experiencing life without God and all that was going through her mind. Here's another one that is just, again, befuddling. A 51-year-old Falls man threatens to kill another man Thursday evening after getting stuck in traffic. You go down the hill here, you go through the woods and where that Wendy's intersection happens. There's an accident. Thursday at 6:30 p.m., just the other day, a witness stopped on Bristol Oxford Valley Road to check the occupants, and that's when Daniel of Butterfly Lane starts yelling, according to the police. His pickup was stopped behind the witness who checked to see the occupants of the accidents to make sure they're okay. Instead of Daniel reaching for the phone, he goes and reaches in the back seat of his gun and gets a .45 automatic. He walks up to the witness, who was not involved in the accident, but went to check on those who were in the accident, bumps his stomach against him and says that he's going to kill the man. Then he drives off towards Trent Road, stopped by the police. They take him into custody, confiscates the .45 automatic, and arraigns him on $50,000 bail. This, my friends, is life without God. These are people that have so much inner toil, so much inner rage, whose world does not go outside the sphere of self, that they act and respond this way. This is typical, normal, ungodly behavior. This is how people act and respond in a world without God. And as we as a culture continue to systematically take God out of the culture, we will have then an ungodly society. And that's just the sad part of life. Let's have a quick word of prayer. And as you can see, it being 5 minutes till, any thoughts or ideas that you had of getting out of here on time?
Gone.
I am sorry if you have your oven set on time, cook. If not, You'll just get your full dollar's value. Let's pray. But again, Father, we do thank you for what we have been exposed to so far today. We are grateful for the music. We are grateful for, again, seeing a life literally that was transformed through Christian compassion. We're thankful for, again, just the opportunity to be here. And Father, those these are extreme, exaggerated cases that we read, or I read, to get our attention. We are grateful that we have a life with you and that we can have the abundant life that Pastor Jesse so well illustrated earlier. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our time remaining. Again, for me, help me to think clearly, speak clearly, and just continue to help our attention focus on you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the first 10 verses of Psalm 34, David puts out this proposition that God is good to his people. And we need to be saying, maybe not audibly, but internally, amen. God is good to us in so many ways. And as the hymn writer says, you know, if we don't think so, we need to literally take the time to start counting our blessings. And we are truly a blessed people in many ways. In verses 1 through 3, David begins to call on the people to praise the Lord. And he does so with several verbs. He says that we are to bless the Lord. The blessing of the Lord has the idea, the word bless is to bow the knee. It would literally be where we come into the church and we fall on our knees in order to praise God for what he has done in our life. And while that's more than just a physical activity, although it is literally to kneel down, there is then also that idea of reverence and respect and subordination to the Almighty God of the universe as we bless him in adoration. Then he goes on to say that we are to praise him. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise. The word praise has the idea to proclaim with a sincere and deeply thankful acknowledgement for and or to be satisfied with the superior attributes of God and or the great acts of God. Or as we said in our adult Bible fellowship, which, by the way, I don't have much time for commercial. I don't have much time for anything, but I'll do it anyway. Starting Sunday, if you're 45 years and older, I would invite you to come to my class, which is in the center room over there. We're going to be starting a little section on humility. But if you'd like to get a little bit more connected with the church, these two classrooms at 9:30 would be a great way to do it. But as we said, is the idea of praise. As we talk about the grace of God, and as we talk about praising God, let me just state it this way. Where would you be today if it were not for the grace of God? And I literally mean all that's entailed to our even being here today is by the grace of God. And that then brings out a sincere, deep, grateful appreciation. That's what the word praise means. Sometimes the words morph and change, but in the Hebrew, it would be a proclaim a sincere and deep thankful acknowledgement for the qualities of God and the acts of God. What you have done in my life, God, I am grateful. I acknowledge it. To magnify, that's kind of an easy one. As we see toddlers growing up, the word magnify means what I just did a minute ago. I pulled out my reading glasses, which are nothing more than funny-looking magnifying glasses to make that small print larger. And he says, oh, let us magnify the Lord together. Let's make God bigger. Let's make God more holy. Let's make God more real in our lives. And then to exalt. Let us exalt his name together. Again, to lift up. I remember when Eric was born. I was in the room, my parents were in the waiting area, and I was able to cut the umbilical cord, and they cleaned them all up. And when I grabbed my son, I went out into the waiting room, and I said, I've got a son. And as you lift up that son, or whatever, whether it's a trophy, maybe it's someone here, they're in an athletic event, and they grab their trophy, and what do they do with it? Most always they lift that up. Well, they may not understand all what's going on, but there is that exaltation, that magnification of lifting it up. And that's what David is saying that we should be doing to God. And in a minute I'll give you some reasons for that. In verses 4 through 6, David provides grounds for praising God. Why should we magnify the Lord? Oh, let's exalt His name. Well, he says it. He says in verse 4, 5, and 6, he says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all of my troubles. They looked unto Him, were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him, delivered him out of all his troubles. Very simply, the Lord hears. And again, as you see over and over and over again in the workings with Abraham, in the workings with the slaves in Egypt, God hears. That could be good news. That could be bad news. But again, even as we were looking at Hagar this morning earlier at 9:30, of the tens of thousands of people who were alive at the time of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, God is hearing all of that, but He's also being able to hear the voice of one mother who was very much distraught with the possible death of her son, Ishmael. And God now, out of all the many billions, almost 6.5 billion people are on this planet, He's big enough to hear all of their cries and yet still close enough, or shall we say small enough, to hear your cry. So He says He hears me and He delivers me. He always comes through. Remember the song, and there's different variations of it, where He's been faithful, faithful to me, and how sometimes in our lives we're fickle and we wander around, but God is still faithful. He is there no matter what our position is with Him. And then as we go a little bit further in these verses, the Lord just enriches one's existence because of His deliverance. There's some reference there. You know, when we're talking about delivering and redeeming, in the Jewish mind, what would be the big significant event that their minds would probably be running to with the idea of deliverance and redemption? Starts with the letter E, probably. Egypt, coming out of Egypt, and the huge, dramatic, spectacular display of God's love and God's power. And He's saying, listen, when an existence with Christ that enriches lives because of the deliverance. In verses 7 through 10, David declares protection and provision. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivers them. You know, this verse cannot accurately be put into words regarding the worth and meaning of it when you're sitting in a hospital room, when you're sitting with a sick child, late at night, when the world is seemingly crashing around you, you know that the angel of the Lord is encamping round about them, that you never have to go through any of this trials or struggles of life alone. In the midst of the crisis, the worth of this reality is more than what can be calculated. And then as you go a little bit further, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. There's no lack. There is no need to them that fear Him. Now He goes on to say, now the young lions, fierce, ferocious, the king of the beast. Now the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but, how does the rest of that verse go? But those who seek the Lord shall not lack what? Any good thing. That is reason then to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to magnify the Lord, to exalt the Lord, and also begin to experience life with God. If we're in with God, if we're good with God, then we're good. If we're good with God, then we're good. And the Lord just richly provides for those who trust in Him. To experience life with God is to experience His offer of abundant life. This offer of abundant life is not just talking about the eternity, you know, there in heaven. He's talking about the enriching life that you and I can have. It would be diametrically opposed to Kim or Daniel. That's what we're talking about. It's diametrically opposed to the life that we see sometimes in the workplace, that we see sometimes in our loved ones and in our families. We're talking about a life of rich meaning and substance. It would be somewhat, well, we can go on. I think I've made my point. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12 says this, "The Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly." Now the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack, want, need any good thing. Any good thing. In verses 11 through 22, God blesses the righteous life. In verses 11 through 14, David instructs how you and I can experience life with God. So what we've tried to do, and what David has tried to do, actually God inspiring David to do, he's kind of whetted your appetite. He says, do you want life like this? Do you want life to the full, diametrically opposed to these people? Well, here, let me show you how you can get it. He says, first of all, watch your mouth. Isn't that what verse 13 says? Keep your tongue from evil. There's a couple reasons for that. David wasn't referencing Matthew, obviously. Matthew wasn't written for centuries afterwards. But Matthew 12 says this, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." James chapter 3 talks about the power of words. He says the power and the strength of words are as powerful as some little teeny rudders that can govern a huge supertanker. The power of words is as powerful as how a little tiny piece of steel that weighs literally ounces can control 12, 14, or if you're looking at big draft horses, a ton worth of muscle and power. And then the fire. So he says, you got to watch your mouth. And again, there's lots more application to that. But you can fill it in. Stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. Your lips from speaking evil. Verse 14, depart from evil. Here, let me use another very good classic contemporary illustration. Duke University. What would have happened had they not hired a stripper? What would have happened had they not attended? They would not have been charged. Again, assuming innocent till proven guilty. If they had stayed far away from sin, they never would have been in this situation. It never would have happened. Now coming back to Levittown, Lower Bucks, now we got high school prom season upon us. And the having sex with our clothes on is the bumping and grinding going on the dance floor, the drinking, the sex, and the drugs that's going on, the absolute provocative dress as people now have to go in front of the faculty and staff to make sure they're not drunk going in or on drugs and to make sure they're properly dressed in unsaved man's mind. And then as a result of that, the injury that's going to be caused because of the drunk driving, the possible death that we've seen, unfortunately, on a regular basis as a result of the teen drinking, the diseases, the pregnancy, and the heartache would never, ever happen if they would depart from evil and just stay far away from it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Jumping down. Now the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, I don't know about that, God. I think I'll try it my own way, thank you very much, and we're going to live like the world. Well, we'll see. He moves on. He says, do what is biblical. He says, depart from evil, verse 14, and do good. Be a witness for Christ. If you want to experience life with Christ, how can you not be but a witness? It would be like Raphael up here, not being able to say anything about compassion. As something has transformed his life, we have the same transformation in our life. That's what we're reading about and memorizing in the back of our bulletin. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. And we've seen that, and maybe some of you were saved very early on and you don't remember it, but you can see the radical, profound difference in your life than in the lives of others. Why would we not want to tell other people? Why is it we can't have 200-300 people coming here? There's some reasons. We have philosophical differences. We have doctrinal differences. But with the thousands of people here, how often are we inviting people to come? How often are we leading someone to the Lord? Let me just ask it this way. January, February, March, April. This year is what? One-third over? You led someone to the Lord yet? Now, some of you promised a year ago that you were going to lead someone to the Lord, and some of you, unfortunately, didn't. Now we're 4 months into this month, or year, and again. Yeah, but I've been praying for Billy, and I'm praying on Billy, and I've been working for Billy, and I've been working on Billy for a year and 4 months. Maybe you need to find somebody else. Well, I'm waiting for God to bring an opportunity my way. Well, great, you've waited now 16 months. Let's start making some opportunities. We need to go out there. If you want a life that's rich with God, ye shall be my witnesses. Be an encourager. Take some of these opportunities we talked about last week. Be a servant. Jesus Christ did not come to be ministered unto. Don't always be asking yourselves, what's in it for me? What's it going to cost me? How much time do I have to give? Be a servant, and God will rich your lives. They that seek the Lord shall not lack, shall not want any good thing. Now you're going to have to trust Him, but He'll do it. Be a learner, be faithful. And then as we go on a little bit further in the bottom of 16, He says, seek peace and pursue it. Be a peacemaker. Remember what Christ said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 12, if as much as lieth within you, if it is at all possible, be at peace with all men. Romans 14 says, pursue the things which make for peace. If we do that, then David reiterates in verses 15 through 21 some of the benefits that you will receive. If you stay, if you watch your mouth, if you stay away from evil, if you do what's biblical, if you work at being a peacemaker, here's what you're going to get. In verse 15 through 21, David says, the Lord is going to watch out for you. Let me give you a perfect Old Testament example. We saw this the other day as we were walking through the life of Abraham. Remember Abimelech? Any of you remember Abimelech? Please, a lot of hands go up so we don't have to rehash the story. But Abimelech, what happened with Abimelech? Well, some of you didn't have your hands raised. We've got to go through this. Abraham and Sarah were traveling down south towards Egypt, and Sarah was a very attractive, good-looking woman, even though she was in her 80s. And Abimelech wanted lots of pretty wives, so Abraham and Sarah concoct this little scheme, and Abraham says, okay, Sarah, here's what I want you to do. When we get close and Abimelech starts eyeballing you, I and you will just tell him that we're brothers and sisters. That's what they do. Abimelech takes her as his wife. He gets a dream about 3 or 4 months later or so. He gets a dream, and God comes to him in a dream and says, you filthy scumbag, you took a man's wife and you're going to die. That was a Scogan's translation, okay? Not quite in that terminology, but the idea was the same. And Abimelech in his dream says, whoa, I didn't know she was his wife. And God says, how can you kill me? I didn't know it. And God said something like this. He says, you know what, Abimelech? I know you didn't know. That's why I kept you from touching her. Now, if God is able to look out for and take care of an unsaved pagan king, how much more is God going to be able to take care of His children, whom He sent His Son to die for? See, there are so many great opportunities we have to living a life with God, and one is the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That is a comfort to me in many, many ways. of which I won't share with you now. Number two, God is listening to your voice. Not only are the eyes of the Lord on the righteous, but verse 15 says the ears are open to their cries. Moms, remember your infant child coming home? You put the child in the bassinet in the other room, and you're laying in bed, and you're like in your deepest, most solemn sleep that you just are able to fall into because you're getting up every 2 or 3 hours. And that little rustle or cry, you hear that? Remember those days? That is how God listens to us. It's not like kind of me with my selective hearing loss and sometimes in a loud... Well, also in a large crowd with a lot of gunfire and farming stuff, and back in the old days before we found out about hearing protection, I do have some hearing loss, and sometimes I just don't hear people. I nod my head, smile, go home and wonder, what did I just agree to? But that's not the way it is with God. God is like the mother hearing the rustling of that child in the middle of the night. His ears are open to your cry. Now, depending upon your God, that could be really exciting. If you got a little teeny God, that's no big deal. But God's eyes are watching out for you. His ears will hear your faintest cry. He also goes on to say that He redeems you. He will lift you up in many different ways. In verse 17, He says, "The righteous cries, the Lord hears, and He delivers them out of all their troubles." Now, there's times when I really like these inclusive words, all inclusives, alls or any. I don't like them when they refer to us. But when they refer to God, I love them. And He says, He will completely redeem you. The Lord makes His presence known. There's that inner assurance, reassurance. There's that inner confidence. There's that inner joy, the peace. All that stuff that we get to enjoy from the fruit of the Spirit. That's experiencing life with God. He makes His presence known. Verse 18 again reiterates that. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. Isn't it good to know that you literally can wake up with God? You know, that's one of the neatest things. Sometimes for me, just personally, some of these songs that we're singing, I wake up in the morning and I don't know why, but that song is right there in my head. The first conscious waking, I got music in my head. Some people have rocks in their heads, I got music. I don't know why, but instantly, the moment there's any cognitive ability there, there's music. And I just love the fact that you can wake up with God. With some of the great hymns or songs of the faith, and you pray through the day and you go through the whole day with God and you end the day with God. And that is just so good. The Lord is near. He's there. He's right there. And He's leading us and guiding us in many ways. Moving on, verse 22. David summarizes the experience of a life with God. He says, "The Lord redeems." Redeems, imagery, their mind is racing back to Egypt and all that transpired. He says the Lord redeems the soul of His servants. And then He upholds His covenant. Verse 22, "None of them shall be condemned." It's kind of interesting, the word condemned in verse 21 used negatively, and the word condemned in verse 22 are the same word. As the ungodly, as the unrighteous will be condemned, those who trust in Him will never be condemned. Isn't that great? That is what you and I want to have. We want to experience a life with God. As we go through the whole life of God, with God, we will never be condemned. In fact, the opposite will be. He will be able to say, "Well done." Or to use my vernacular, "You done did good. You done did good. You did a good job. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Well, here's my invitation to you. David gave you many invitations here in Psalm 34 to come, to taste, to see, to trust, to experience life with God. My invitation to you is to become a child of God. To become a child of God. Raphael expressed some of his conversion experience. But you need to repent of your sin. And you need to accept the gift of salvation. And again, knowing my sinfulness, knowing my feet of clay, I am so glad that I don't have to work for my salvation. Speaking personally, I would never be good enough. I could not do it on my own ability, but then I'm not the smartest guy. Some pick things up quickly. I have to go through it 4, 5, 6 times to get part of it. But we don't have to work for it, whether we pick things up quick or whether it takes a while. It's a gift. And I love that. And you need to accept that gift. Number two, to experience life with God, maybe you need to be repenting of and removing sin in your life. Do you want to experience life with God? Well, then depart from evil. Get rid of it. Make no provisions for the flesh. We got to change our schedule. We got to change our lifestyles. We've got to get rid of some of this filth in our life. And then number three, a little bit more generically, maybe just seek some biblical help to help enable you to experience life with God. Life with God. If you can't read Psalm 34 and says, that's me to a T, 100%, why not? Why can't you? Or is this promise here given just to Old Testament? Or does not Jesus Christ say something, as Pastor Jesse mentioned a moment ago, I've come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. Was he writing to dead people? No, he's writing to already living people. So he's not talking about a physical existence. He's talking about qualitative life. So if we're not experiencing Psalm 34, maybe we need to get some help so we can start enjoying life with God. Let's pray. So again, Father, for the opportunity to be here, we thank you. We asked you to be working in and through this service, and at least from my perspective, that prayer was answered. And again, we say thank you. But now, Father, we come to a point of decision. We always have to respond. That's part of worship, is a response back to you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Keep thy lips from speaking evil. Keep your mouth from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Seek peace. Do good. The young lions do lack, suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord, desire the Lord, long for the Lord, lust after the Lord, shall not lack any good thing. So what are we going to do, Father? Is that a mirror of our life? Or maybe there's some blemishes on our mirror. Maybe there's some cracks. Maybe there's no mirror at all. We are outside of this picture in that we've never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Well, Father, if there's a decision that needs to be made, may it be made as we sing this last song. If we need some help in accepting Christ as Savior, if we need some help in experiencing life with God, may we talk to someone.